Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Glenn Fry, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I'm dropping the ball. Wow, I think we're back. I mean, it is
madness. It's madness.
Well, the worst part is all of you jabronis.
Jabronis.
Yeah, all of you jabronis.
That's not your word. That's The Rock's word.
I know. Well, I borrowed it from him. So
we'll do the eyebrow at least. Can you do that when you say the word jabroni?
I don't know. you know, right? You're freaking out over the hats.
I love it. So awesome.
I don't know how we're gonna get them all home.
You have to wear them.
Well.
Wear it on the plane.
We very well may do that. But yeah, the Noggin Bros. We've got these hats, so we've got that. We have an interview coming up with Orlando Brown, and I'm sure he'll show up a little late. Then we have Rick Harrison, who was here and he left, and hopefully he'll come back.
Yeah.
What all of you jabronis need to understand is you can't keep saying yeah come. Oh my God, Joe Montana, sit down. What, is Joe Montana going to sit on Orlando Brown Jr.'s lap?
Possible.
He probably could.
So, yesterday Cam Newton called our producer Steve the skinny Santa. So he got a nickname yesterday, as well as you did, from Stitch Duran. He now called you Low Blow.
And now you've ended your career. You're now all right, this is the only time we're going to talk about it, okay? Our guest isn't here. All of the three guests that were booked for this top of the hour.
That's the thing. You've got to book everyone because you don't know who's going to come.
I know, but the problem with that is, see, you two guys don't care. Meaning, if the one you book three people at the same time and two show up, you don't care if you're like, hey, dude, sorry, see you. And it doesn't matter who they are. I mean, it could be, I don't know, the media guy behind you. You know, it could be Pat McAfee. It could be whoever that we've asked to be on. It's kind of like when Andrew sat down and all the commotion, you know, everybody's looking around. What's going on? Who's that? Oh, my God, The Rock walked by. Oh, my God, there's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, everything is devoted to the guy sitting there. And I get the excitement and stuff. So everybody needs to check the list. It's like Christmas.
Bigger star, Conor McGregor or Donald Trump, if they both walked in right now, like independently, which one gets the bigger response? Which one's the bigger star?
First of all, I think it would depend on where it is.
Okay.
Like, are you talking here? You're talking at a UFC? Talking, you know, it depends on what you're talking about.
Okay.
Like at the UFC, in a UFC atmosphere, Donald Trump is bigger than Conor McGregor.
Wow.
Because a lot, I would say most of the UFC fans are Donald Trump people. Now, they're Conor McGregor, too. But, you know, Conor McGregor loved hate. Donald Trump loved hate. So it's just you've got to get to the right situation of more love than hate.
Because we've seen in New York, Madison Square, but Trump is a New Yorker. So, you know, like, was that crowd reaction when he walked into the Madison Square Garden because he was in
Definitely.
His hometown?
No.
Or
no.
Because he's no. Donald Trump, because the UFC base is the same Trump base?
I have seen Donald Trump at a UFC in Miami. I've seen Donald Trump at a boxing event where Tito Ortiz fought Anderson Silva. I've seen Donald Trump here in Las Vegas. We've seen Donald Trump at the UFC at Madison Square Garden. It is electrifying, okay? It's taking it from the Rock. It is absolutely craziness.
Right.
And like I said, I still think that Conor McGregor gets that pop too. The Rock gets that pop. But I literally have never been in a facility when Donald Trump walks in. You know, to the right crowd.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking of The Rock, local to St. Pete, Florida, Amped Fitness. They have one by your house. There's one downtown St. Pete. That was their first location. They now expanded to 20 locations. Good friends of mine, Travis Labazo and Steve. And what's amazing is that The Rock went to an Amped Fitness and hung out with my boy Rob Colburn. So I could only imagine working at a gym and The Rock comes in to just work out and hang out and it's got to be surreal.
Yeah. Speaking of The Rock, he's right behind you.
Oh, is he really? Oh, yeah. There he is. Hey, what timing? Doesn't get better than that.
You would almost think that was planned.
I almost planned it.
And it wasn't, of course.
Well, I'm going to tell you you're using the word jabroni without doing the eyebrow.
That's fine. Dwayne and I go back.
Yeah.
Dwayne and I go back way, way back. So many, many, many years ago, to tell you how many years ago, the WWE, they may even been the WWF then, had an event at the Sundome.
Okay.
Okay. Not at Amalie Arena. Not right. Even sure if Amalie Arena was open. That's how long ago it was. And I was supposed to do something with Ken Shamrock, who I've known for an extremely long time. And Ken got lost in traffic.
Okay.
And so the WWE / WWF came over and said, hey, you know, we're sorry. We don't know what's going on with Ken. Any chance we'd like to give you somebody else to kind of hang out with whenever. And they bring this guy over. He was not a jabroni. He was Dwayne Johnson.
Wow.
He was The Rock. Hung out with him. It was really super cool. Then I bring it up to our guest that'll be in the third hour. And I believe Warren Sapp's comment was, how'd my backup do? How was my backup?
So,
you know, he was my backup, right?
And another tie to the radio show, Caleb Bittnot, a friend of the program, played for the same Canadian football club, the Stampeders, Calgary Stampeders, and where, as you know, there's 12 men on a field in Canada. So alma mater to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who also played for the Calgary Stampeders.
Yep.
Oh, and Kurt Warner was in the Canadian Football League. Goes. Well, I don't know if he's still around. He's over here somewhere.
I don't know if he was in the Canadian.
Didn't he play in Canada?
I believe he played Arena.
I thought he played in Canada. Was I wrong?
I don't know. Maybe next time I talk to him.
Well, where did he go? Just find him. He should be here somewhere. I mean, The Rock being here is cool. That's pretty awesome. Some commotion over there. There's people walking in. I don't know who's coming now. But you can always tell when, like, the people just gravitate towards, like, one area of the room. Somebody's coming in. Somebody's doing something. It's just so magical. I mean, this is unlike any other experience just because of the sheer star power in one location. It's crazy.
No, it is. But it kind of adds to the excitement. But here's the same thing. So we all start freaking out. You know, we've now triple booked, right? And
yeah.
And I gave Steve some crap. We've triple booked, and now none of the three are here.
Steve, tackle Joe Montana. He's right there. He's got to do the show. We got to get him. He watches the Chuck Liddell interview on Media Row in the years past.
Yeah, that was in L.A.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so, that's when you know the UFC is a major player, like when legends from other sport stop to watch the UFC legends do interviews or get their autograph or take a photo. It's pretty cool.
No, you know, and that's what I said when it happened, you know, how cool it was.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so we are waiting for Cincinnati Bengal Orlando Brown Jr. Hopefully Rick Harrison comes back.
Yeah.
Great get by Steve. The only problem is Steve had no clue we had somebody on.
I see that people stand to stuff like Robin Thicke. He made us wait 4 hours. If we would have waited for all interviews because we thought he was coming, we would have missed out on greatness.
I'm kicking myself for agreeing.
Yeah.
I sent a pretty direct email.
You're good at that. You're assertive.
Hey, yeah. I'm still arguing with one of the B&B companies. They're like, yeah. Well, you know, we made sure you got a partial refund.
Partial?
A partial refund. If you give me a partial refund, I'm calling the judge, Steve Pacitti, who was supposed to come with us last night, but he had some things going on. I know some attorneys. I know some judges. You know, you're giving me a partial refund because I didn't stay at a dump that had things left in the bed in sheets and all that stuff. That, yeah. Crazy. You're going to give me more than a partial refund.
Yeah.
You're going to give me more than a full refund. Like, I slept in the car.
Like an apology?
Yeah, nothing.
Like nothing. Like a handwritten, like a thank you note? Or, I'm sorry? Like a Dear John letter? Like
I didn't get any of that.
Nothing?
All right, let's try to figure out A, Orlando, B, Matt, C, Joe, Montana.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll go reach up and maybe I'll text Dwayne.
Yeah.
But let's hit this break on time. Let's try to get back
on
schedule.
I'd like to talk to The Rock.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator.
This is Phyllis Project listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Say goodbye to outdated equipment and welcome the latest smart technology into your home. With CoolBreeze AC, you can effortlessly control the temperature and create the perfect environment from anywhere at any time. Call CoolBreeze today at 727-954-3605.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back hanging out here at a very subdued radio row.
Yeah. Quiet. Nothing really going on.
I wish there was.
That the Rock is behind us. You know what I've really loved about Vegas, though, so far, Randy? Is I love all the nostalgia, like the old school lights and like the souvenir shops and like the architecture. You know, last night we went to a convenience store that had a literal casino inside of it. Felt like old Hollywood, old Vegas. That was pretty cool, man. And then I found an advertisement on internet where it says, remember the prices. So you want to play a game about nostalgic memories of McDonald's price menu?
Sure.
So I don't have the year, but it
does. So what am I supposedly guessing?
So let's just start with year one, McDonald's. What do you think a pure beef hamburger cost on the McDonald's menu that was printed? Let's call it year one because it doesn't say what year this is printed. But let's just say year one, what does a hamburger cost when McDonald's first started?
9 cents.
15 cents.
Yeah, I feared it was something in that area.
But here, check out the descriptions, though. The tempting cheeseburger. They use the word tempting as a descriptive of their burger. Was 19 cents. A triple thick shake, 20 cents. Golden French fries, 10 cents. Thirst quenching Coke. That's been a while since I've heard the word quenching. 10 cents. Delightful root beer, 10 cents. Steaming hot coffee, 10 cents.
Did they get sued back in the day for that?
Probably. Full flavor orange drink, 10 cents. And refreshing cold milk, 12 cents. What's fascinating is the way that they describe the menu. Like so many descriptives, even in the tip, the print says McDonald's amazing menu. I think that's what we missed in today's marketing world. Like we don't get enough descriptives of like, you know,
get kind of descriptives. Do you want? What could you possibly want?
Like the over the top, you know, bigger than life, best ever. You know, like hype it up. McDonald's was an art, like the master.
Yeah, but do you run to something like that, the best ever? Because if I see something that says, you know, because I've even questioned it. Steve and I went to a bar, okay. So that was my first warning.
Okay.
Best Philly cheesesteaks in Las Vegas.
Okay. So
even when it says voted by, who voted? Those three people that are eating there and, right. And you comp them.
If Andrew Zimmer's voting, and I'll take his recommendation.
You know, I want to go back to him just for a second. You know, you asked me the dilemma about the salt and the pepper and, you know, and you didn't want to be disrespected. Well, it was really the honey, you know, at the taste of the NFL. And he really did have the greatest answer ever. You know, I'd like you to taste it first.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing I do when I get food is I put more pepper on. Or I put pepper on.
You taste it first before you doctored up. No.
No, never. I've never done that.
Wow.
I'm going to do that from now on.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, I do a lot of the cooking at home.
Right.
And I put, I've just started within the last 2 weeks, month of using salt.
Okay.
I never cooked with salt. And the first thing my wife does when we get food is she takes the apple. It's an apple salt shaker. And, you know, out goes because she salts everything. I've just started putting some salt, you know, on my food.
And I love how he says, once the food's plated and served off my hand, it's no longer my experience. It's your experience.
Right.
Right. I thought that was a classic answer. Like, great. So, but I think when it comes to like the marketing for like best ever, when you're going that way, it reminds me of the movie Elf, where like, you know, it says world's greatest coffee. And then like Elf runs into, he's like, congratulations. Remember that movie?
I never
like
saw
the Christmas movie. What?
I never saw it.
Will Ferrell plays the elf and he's a, you know, and he's a human, but he's like raised by elves and he's in New York City out of, you know, the North Pole.
I think I've seen bits and pieces.
And he runs in and he congratulates them for having like the world's coffee. And then the girl goes, what is it? It's a crappy cup of coffee. He's like, no, it's the world's best. It says it on the door. So I think a lot of, you know, pizza guys like myself are notorious for always hyping it up as best pizza ever. You know, it's just kind of the industry. But I think you can use other descriptives other than the word best or world's best.
sometimes I run away from it.
Yeah.
You know, when it says it.
Well, if it's in a gas station or in like a bar.
I don't know. Some of those hot dogs, sometimes.
You never know.
Hot dogs in the gas station. But the first thing I do, and again, not that I would waste Andrew's time with it. The first thing I do when I get a hot dog at the gas station, and sometimes they're good, is I stick them in the microwave.
Really?
Because they're never cooked enough.
Never hot enough?
Well, not no. It's not even hot enough. They're never cooked enough. Right. You know, probably the worst thing to eat is a semi, semi-cooked.
Like a raw,
not
raw
even right. Not even warm. I'm just saying a semi-cooked.
Yeah.
You know, a partially raw. I'm like, no. no.
Yeah. But you never know. Like food trucks. I mean, there's I've had some amazing food in the most unlikely of places. You know, like a little food truck, a food truck or a flea market has a little, you know, vendor booth set up and they're making some food and just unbelievable.
I'm with you.
Oh.
In the words of the guy across from you, from us, I can smell what you're cooking.
very nice.
Rock has a press conference tonight.
Okay.
At T-Mobile, huge WWE press conference, where I'm sure what is going to be announced is Cody Rhodes will not finish his story, which would be to go after and defeat Roman Reigns.
Okay.
But Roman Reigns, it appears, will be challenged and taking on The Rock at WrestleMania.
Wow.
And Cody Rhodes will be wrestling against Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins here yesterday. Dressed out as always. He always looks dapper on Media Row. I've never seen him not look dressed up. So, yeah. Oh boy. Now, Randy. So before Rick Harrison sits down from Pawn Stars, you have quite the collectible. You have quite the collection of memorabilia artifacts.
I do not.
If there's anything that you have in your vault.
I do not have a large collection. I have a few things in storage.
Is there one thing that you would want to bring to Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars? Maybe him offer to buy it? Or something he could authenticate, what do they call it?
Authenticate.
To see if it's real. Because he brings in experts like, you know, do you have something that you're questionable about? Like how valuable it is or what it's
worth? Well, you know, how valuable it is different than questionable. Like, I don't need Rick or anybody else to authenticate some things that I have.
Because you were there when you got them signed.
I have a lithograph signed by Palmer, Nicholas, and Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Okay. I know it's authentic because I personally got all three.
Right.
You know, it was given to me for emceeing a golf tournament.
Yes.
And I was at the Tiger Woods unveiling of his website. I emceed that as well. I have no issues about anything, any of that stuff that I have. But I don't sell anything, so I don't really know. But yeah, there's a few things that I would be curious the value of.
Okay.
I was offered $10,000 for a UFC sign poster that I have.
Okay.
$10,000.
Is it framed?
It is framed.
Yeah, okay.
It is framed.
Which poster?
UFC 50, I believe.
Okay.
You know, I would have to go back to the email. A, I don't believe it. B, you know, there's so many scams. I send it, you know. You know, like I said, I don't really sell, but for 10 grand, I'd sell.
Okay.
My daughter, who is getting married this year, has a Taylor Swift signed guitar.
Oh.
And you know, she's paying for the wedding. Her and her fiance are paying for a good portion of the wedding. And, you know, they've considered, you know, selling that
guitar.
Does
that guitar go up in value if the Chiefs win Sunday against the 49ers?
No, I don't think so.
Like, it doesn't add more star power value for a nostalgic, you know, Taylor Swift guitar?
I don't think so. Okay. I how do you get bigger than one of the biggest on the planet? Become the biggest on the planet? I don't think anything the Kansas City Chiefs does, anything Travis Kelce does, could increase anything, you know, from Taylor Swift.
It looks like a sad puppy dog.
Oh, well. Such it is. So I guess Rick got upset that we had Andrew on. But it is break time, so let's hit a break. We'll be able to discuss with producer Steve for about 30 seconds. And then after this break, who knows, we'll be stopping by Radio Row here at the convention center, the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, for the upcoming Super Bowl, which is XL22LMNOS.
Oh, it's LVIII.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. For all of your banners, car wraps, and printing, call Compass Banners, Printing, and Wraps at 727-522-7414 for all your signage and promotional needs. Every sign tells a story. Every wrap makes a statement. Find us on Facebook. Visit our website at compassbanners.com or call 727-522-7414. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, I guess we hurt Rick Harrison's feelings.
I think he'll come back around. I mean, I think Steve's got that rapport with him. I think they're going to, you know. Pawn Stars, that's Vegas, baby. I mean, when you think of Vegas, you know, it's a huge, successful show. I enjoy the content. I think it's a great show, the way they did it. You know, it gives you educational piece, history of an item, whether it's Civil War guns or, you know, Super Bowl rings. Or
he was wearing two Super Bowl rings.
That's
unbelievable.
Cool. And I think one of them was Bryant. I watched that episode. The Patriots ring with the player was a Bryant.
Well, I've watched some of it where he flew over to England and he purchased some things. And you know.
I remember like that one was hand engraved on the inside, and all the other ones before that were done by a machine engraving, so they thought it was fake. But that year, it was too big to fit in the engraver. So somebody had to hand engrave each inside of the ring with the company's logo and name for every player and ring of the Patriots. That's a lot of work.
No, for sure.
That's a serious commitment.
You know, how many times, and I'm in a bunch of Facebook pages and stuff, that somebody personally gets an autograph. They've got it personally, and they're told, nah, it looks fishy to me.
Right.
You know, which I was told by the Tiger Woods one, you know, that I obtained when I emceed the unveiling of his website.
Well, I mean, look at me personally. Have you ever had to autograph, like, a lot of things, like, in a row?
Yeah.
Like, the first autograph you do, looks nothing like the last right. because you get hurried. You go to the UFC signings and the posters. The first ones are the big C and like, you know, written out. And then at the end, it's just a big scribble. So I think, you know, it's really hard to like verify unless you have video footage.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even sign the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I've changed just, you know, because I do some legal stuff and I have to sign each one. And I just, you know, just like they do on these cards.
Now,
how do you verify some of these check marks, you know, as the autograph?
Now, with celebrities and athletes, I'm sure they spend a lot of time working on their signature because that's like their logo. That's their image. That's what they're...
Most of them did that in elementary school.
Yeah.
You know, where they would practice writing in the book, signing their name. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, I mean, but I think, you know, I'm sure like when you get a certain level, you're needed to
Warren.
Be distinctive.
Warren. 99. Okay.
So you need to, I mean, I think you got to put a lot of time into your signature because some people, what's the coolest signature you've ever seen from an athlete or celebrity? What's the coolest thing? Like anything that stands out? Like, I feel like Ronaldo has like a really cool one with the 7, the Cristiano Ronaldo CR7 or whatever. But who has the coolest autograph? You think?
I don't know. You know, and again, a lot of the times it kind of bothers me. You know, it's the check or just a big R, you know, or the Z or the Q, and like, nope, well that's his autograph. Well, it may be his autograph, but it's not really good, you know. Got to see what big hat old 99 is going to want when he comes. Oh, he's going somewhere else. He did tell me 11:30. So,
okay, I just looked up most famous autographs. What do you think number one on the list is for most famous autograph?
Jesus Christ,
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that's too different, but okay.
Jimi Hendrix, Joe DiMaggio, and Marilyn Monroe
together. All right,
Albert Einstein, Babe Ruth. Jimmy Page, George Washington, John Lennon.
George Washington Carver?
I don't know Carver, but okay. George Washington.
Okay.
Neil Armstrong.
Really? Okay.
Walt Disney. William Shakespeare. Jesse James.
What, if you're looking at the list, what is towards the top or whatever of fairly recent, you know, of the last 50 years? Well, Walt Disney would fall into that category.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix. Marilyn Monroe. Babe Ruth.
All right. I've seen a lot. You know, the thing about Babe Ruth, though, was he signed, from what I've been told, I wasn't there, that he signed a lot of things, which, you know, that has to do with value.
Right.
You know, Mike Allstott's, you know, autograph is really not worth a whole lot because he signs for everyone.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that does play into it, you know, very much. What autograph, if there was one autograph, you know, to obtain, what would you want?
I don't know about personally, but I did see at auction, I think it was a Bruce Springsteen employee check written from his actual personal checking. For like $100 40 years ago, was just found and revealed, and it sold for like $15,000 at auction.
Really?
But you know, it's signed by the boss on his personal company letterhead for an employee or somebody for his like organization. So it says the hardest autographs to get. Tiger Woods is notorious for both. Tiger Woods, Jake Arrieta, Chipper Jones, Barry Bonds, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and Rusty Tillman top your list of hardest autographs to obtain in sports memorabilia.
Really? Tiger, I see. Barry Bonds, I know for a fact.
God, give me Manning?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we saw him at the Pro Bowl.
We did. Chipper Jones.
That surprises me.
Aaron Rodgers, can see that.
That doesn't surprise me. Brett Favre, surprise me. Keep going.
That's Rusty Tillman and Jake Arrieta.
All right.
What is the rarest?
I would put Conor McGregor in that.
What is the rarest sports autograph? One of the most rarest sports autographs of all time is Archibald Moonlight Graham. One of five baseball players' autographs are known to exist, including a check signed in 1963 that sold for $3,000 at auction in 2008, and a 1906 minor league postcard with his signature that sold for $5,000 in 2015.
Oh, the rarest, not the most valuable.
Expensive autograph of a living person is not living anymore, but Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah, interesting. So what one autograph would you want?
One autograph.
Other than Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Which would, and I'm, you know, whatever, hate me, it means nothing to me, but it would be cool to have.
I think, maybe just because we're in Vegas and I'm feeling all nostalgic and we're
Elvis.
Yeah, it's got to be the king. I mean, just his swag, it was so trendsetting. He changed, you know, culture forever. You know, and being here with, like, the Strip and the Vegas sign last night and just the nostalgia, I think Elvis for sure.
I have come to Las Vegas since the UFC, okay? So many UFCs, you know, that I've seen here in the Las Vegas, Nevada, I have never been to the sign when there wasn't a soul there. Last night, there wasn't a soul there. And some dude walked up and asked, nobody's there, because typically right. They even have people that'll take pictures, and, you know, you tip them the dollar or whatever. So let me explain to you what happened last night, because you were not aware, okay? I know that you questioned why Steve turned down the guy taking a photo of the three of us, right?
Why?
Yeah, why he said no. There's a reason why he said no.
I don't know why.
I know you don't. I'm telling you why. This is the reason that he turned it down.
Okay.
And he's listening, and I guarantee you he's going to shake his head. This is why.
Okay.
So he thought, let's go back in time. We're in Philadelphia. We're at the stairs of the Rocky Balboa statue.
Okay.
Steve is running the stairs, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So a guy comes up to him and says, hey, brother, let me take the photo for you. And I think it cost him $20.
Oh, then he wants the money for that.
Right. So he wondered why, when the guy said it, I started to drift away. I walked away because I knew what it was. And they have people there, which is cool, you know, but at least you know that's why they're there. Hey, I'll take your picture. You know that it's for tips and whatever.
I didn't see that. He was walking. He wasn't just standing around.
I understand that. I'm telling you, that's why Steve said no.
Okay, makes sense.
So then when I realized that he was there to get a picture of himself,
right?
And I said, hey, I'll take your photo. And then that's
But when he went into full photo shoot mode and got on the ground and started striking a pose.
What's up with this?
Bro, like, he killed it. Like, bravo to that guy. The creativity. Like, because he was like, hey, you want to get a photo? He did the first one. Then all of a sudden he gets on the ground and starts spreading out, laying down. That was iconic. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, or a little over the top. I was waiting for him to hold up a sign with a couple of X's on
it. But I didn't expect it. So, you know, some people you expect to do something outlandish or crazy. He just looked like a regular guy walking down the street with a phone, a camera around his neck. It looked like a tourist, you know. And for him to just get down and do that, I thought was
Did epic. You look at your photos from the sign last
I
night?
Did.
All right, so I learned a lesson when a couple years ago we went ziplining through the canyons here outside of Las Vegas. It was really cool. So you hike all the way to the top, you do all this stuff, and the tour guides are like, hey, you want me to take a picture as you're looking over the thing? I go, yeah, that'd be great. Takes the picture. I then look at my photos later. He took a picture of himself.
Right. I saw the photos of the selfie of you and Steve in my phone now. So
that was the object. Well, we did have something really cool set for Rick Harrison, which involved a phone call from Sweden. But since it appears Rick Harrison will not be coming back.
Oh, no. Don't say never. He's still here.
Well, I'm not saying never,
we
but
find him.
At least we know Warren Sapp is in the building.
Yeah, I saw him.
And I only yelled at him because I knew he said he was coming. I only yelled at him, and I'm going to tell him this, so that he knew where we're located.
Sure, of course.
You know, because I guess I could have said we're in front of Pat McAfee.
That's true.
Is The Rock still there?
It looks like it. There's a wall of people.
There really is.
I mean, that's by far the biggest attraction I've seen thus far at the this week. Is the interview with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And, you know, but let's real. It's not that many.
It's not.
Considering.
It's not what you expect. You think everybody would be.
Right.
There.
Right.
You would.
All right. Let's go take our final break of whatever hour number this is, and we'll get prepared for Rick Harrison, Mickey D from the Scorpions,
yeah.
Warren Sapp, Orlando Brown. They'll all be here at the exact same freaking time.
Warren Sapp.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator. We'll be right back.
And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Turner, Kirby Carlisle from HBO's Arliss, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And this is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from Media Row, Mandalay Bay Convention Center, Super Bowl 58 going down on Sunday. And Randy going to grab a seat with our good friend.
Well, and
This
is the only exception, okay? Because I said that I don't want to, like, have people sitting down. And this is the only exception to the Warren Sapp, you know, which we are waiting for. We don't know when it'll be here. But this is – let's wait till he puts it on. Welcoming back to the program. This is the most times I've seen you in a week.
I know, man. You don't call me anymore. Oh. We don't talk anymore. So
right. So we have to meet on Radio Row. So, yeah, Warren just walked by. I think he's over. I think. I don't want to say which booth because I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen him. We just got here.
So what have you been doing since last time we spoke?
So we are
talking to Martin Gramatica, legend of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So we've done every show on Univision from the morning to all their news shows. So we're on pretty much all day, and then small clips. You know, where they come in, and then we do some of their sports shows as well. So pretty busy.
Is this overwhelming for you? Is this fun for you? Is this just a job for you?
No, it's fun because I haven't been to a Super Bowl in a while now. So it's cool to come back and experience it again. I remember experiencing Radio Row, you know, maybe, 10 years ago. So now to be back, it's pretty cool to see how much it's changed, too, you know, from, like, our media day to now it's called opening day, which is more of a production more than just interviews anymore.
What was the strangest thing that you remember, if you can remember that far back of that Super Bowl in 02? You know, I remember somebody in a wedding dress asking somebody to, I don't remember which player, to marry her. Do you remember anything silly, fruity, whatever?
She's actually works for our competitor in Univision, so I know who you're talking about. She's actually from a Mexican TV station. Nobody asked me to marry them at the Super Bowl. And I remember, I can tell you that. It was just, for us, I think it was a crazy week and a fast week because we played Philly and then we played the week after. We didn't have that buffer week, so everything just became chaos really fast, you know, in obviously preparation for the game, but still we went from winning the championship game at, in Philly to flying to San Diego and just preparing for the game.
Did you go straight to San Diego?
No, no. We came to Tampa, but I think our layover was like
a couple hours.
Right. You know, went home, packed whatever we could, and then headed over to San Diego.
I know I was in Philly. I remember calling my wife saying, you know, they just won. I'm coming home. I'm going straight to San Diego. You know, we flipped it. Did you guys, and I've never asked you this, you knew you were going to win. You thought you were going to win. You planned on winning. Did you guys prepare like that, or did you literally have to go home and pack, or did you have anything ready thinking you were going
to
win?
I personally didn't. We felt like we were going to win. We were ready to go win. We wanted to win. I mean, everything, but you don't want to jinx it. Right. You know, have your bags ready. I'm just going to pick up my bags. I think the rumor was that Philly had a plane already going with equipment and stuff to San Diego. So we didn't want to do that. You know, we were like, let's take care of business first, which the priority was winning the game before we could prepare to go to San Diego. So I didn't have anything prepared. I just remember getting there and real quick turning around and getting on the flight.
As a player back in the day, I'm thinking of questions I should have asked you, 10, 15 years ago. I remember vividly we're just outside the field, because back in the day, we could come on the field with like 4 minutes left. And I remember standing there, and I've always said, I'm not a fan of the Buccaneers. I'm not a fan of any team. I'm a fan of players. I'm a fan of, people that you get a relationship with.
Right.
So I'm standing with some of the local Tampa Bay media, and one of the local Tampa Bay media is wearing a Philadelphia Eagles hat.
Did you smack him?
I looked at him like, what's wrong with you? I don't. But that's my question. As a player, is that upsetting, or they're doing their job, their media, they may not be a Buccaneer fan.
Right, not everybody's a Buccaneer fan, but I feel like if you're there covering the Buccaneers for a Tampa media, whatever it is, whether it's TV, radio, or newspaper, you should have at least a little respect and not wear a Philadelphia Eagles hat, especially after we had just beaten them a couple of days earlier to get to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they can wear whatever they want, but it's kind of, you can look at it a little bit disrespectful that way.
It was definitely strange, and that's why, I didn't even wear, Buccaneer stuff. It's not neutral, because obviously, at least that team, I was all in. I wanted you guys to win because of my relationships with all you guys, but I still didn't think I wanted to wear I'm supposed to be semi-neutral.
Right.
I remember, and I've always told all my guys, you don't show this, you don't show that. The only time that I've ever clapped in the press box, it was
a field goal, I hope.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right, there you go. Yeah, I did that publicly. This is what I hid under the table.
Nice.
It's when Aaron Stecker returned a kick.
All right.
Against the Buccaneers.
Oh, whoa.
He went to New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
And it rolled through his legs. He turned around, he picked it up, and I went under the table, and I just clapped real slow. Because I don't show emotion. You're not supposed to show emotion.
You're not supposed to in the right. Media press box. You're not supposed to. They don't want you to show emotion.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So you were a Stecker fan, I guess, huh?
And then,
he was a cool
guy. Yeah, he was definitely a good guy.
Yeah.
They did look down on me the time after you did kick a field goal when I jumped in the air and, I did your thing.
Yeah? You did that a lot?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because you did it a lot.
So Martin, all right, so we see the new NFL. We see in Detroit, a lot of live by the three, die by the three in basketball. We see fourth down conversions, going for it more often than the conservative play calling of years past. As a kicker, do you want the moments, you want those opportunities to put 3 points on the board and believe in yourself and in your role, or do you want your head coach to go for fourth and two, fourth and one, and keep the play alive, keep the drive alive where you don't have to go in?
No, as a kicker, you always want to go in because you feel like you're helping the team. But at the end of the, but you have to see what the circumstances of the game are. If the coach feels like, and the other thing too, they say you should never take points off the board. If there's a penalty, you make the kick, and there's a penalty. So things like that's happened to me a couple of times where like, man, I just made a nice kick, now it doesn't count. And then a lot of times you end up not getting the touchdown and having to re-kick it. So you're like, wait, they should have just kept it. The one that I just made, it's a little bit longer.
Right.
But in Detroit's case, it's a lot easier to criticize now. But I feel like they should have learned from their mistake against the Cowboys.
Right.
Because on that play where they declared, but the ref didn't see that he declared.
Yeah.
And then he went for it again twice. So and didn't get it.
Right.
So you would think maybe learn from your mistakes. But it's easier to criticize now. But at the time, if he gets that fourth down.
Right, I was going to say that. If he makes it, he's the smartest
genius.
Guy on planet.
Right. But I feel like there was a couple plays where the call was correct. The correct call, the player was open, but they just dropped. They had two drops on fourth down that were legit drops. You
right,
make
for
one,
sure.
you convert one of those four downs and you win the game. Sure. I feel like the game turned and changed when it went off the helmet and they caught it on the five-yard line. I said, okay. I looked at my wife right there. We're watching the game. I said, 49ers will win the game. You just feel like they have that luck. You know, when you get a lucky play like that, you feel like the luck's turning. And then the next series, they fumble, and that was over. You know?
Right. Well, what about the icing? All right, so they ice the kicker. Are you one of the guys that you want to go through and do that practice? Because sometimes I'm watching them, and they make it, and then they miss it when it's for real.
Right. That's only happened to me one time that I can remember, and I made the kick. So, but it all, a lot of guys, I feel like you can use that to their advantage. I hate when you kick it, and then they call it right before you kick it. So now you make it, and now it doesn't count. You're like, oh, man, I got to do it again. So I don't like that rule where they're letting you go through the kick and then calling it right there. But a lot of the kickers, they're so good and they're so mentally tough these days that they could use that to their advantage to prepare even a little bit more. So I don't know. It may work on some, may not.
All right. We've been friends a long time. I know you're going to say this is a stupid question, but I need to ask you this. You know, because we've talked about this on the air. All right. So the biggest complaint about soccer, especially in America, is it's a low-scoring game. You know, 1-0 is boring as hell. You know, 2-1 is boring as hell. What if they changed it to American football numbers, and if every, you know, goal was 6 points? So now the final score is, you know, 12-6, because there's 12-7 football games. It's the same thing. It's two scores.
No, I agree with you 100%. That's where when you hear that argument, well, I could watch a 0-0 game. That's super exciting. It has a ton of action. Just, you know, there's a keeper there to make saves.
Right.
And there could be great shots and then great saves. So, yeah, when I hear that argument, I think it's the dumbest thing ever, because a 14-7 game, it's only 2-1.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's why. Soccer maybe should implement a different scoring system. Maybe they get people to like it. But now they're implementing, I don't know if you saw it, they just came out, the blue card, which is a 10-minute like power play if you're wasting time. So you lose a player for 10 minutes. I think the Premier League is going to start that.
Oh, really?
Which it's kind of like an indoor soccer rule that they're using. So I've never heard of it. They voted it, or they're voting on it. But I just saw something this morning that they may implement that.
I don't want to call them fake injuries, but what about all of those where it literally looks like they've been shot 3 times?
Well, that's part of the game. And actually... in some cases, they teach that. It's part of the, like, learning how to. If you're not better than the opponent, you got to figure out how to beat your opponent. And if you happen to score a goal, against a team that's better than you, it's called park the bus, when you just throw everybody back, defend, and you waste time. You know, you kick the ball out of bounds, you make substitutions. Like, if you're going to sub a player out, you time to go as far away as possible and walk as slow as they can. So there's little tricks that all these coaches use.
You know, and as I ask that, let's look at the NFL. Let's look at football. It's the same thing. You know, you lay on top of the guy.
Right.
You're trying to stall minutes.
You run the ball. If you're up, you run the ball. You don't throw.
Right.
So that's similar. Still, right. I mean, it's still a play, but you change your strategy.
You stand over the ball until the ref is able to get it from you. But, yeah, it's in football as well.
Well, earlier, Randy saw Kurt Warner over here, and he remembers a call when Kurt was at a job doing radio. And his son had broke his leg.
Why are you throwing me under the bus?
No, but if his son would have had that spray that they use in soccer, yeah. They could have fixed that broken bone on the spot.
I don't know if it fixes broken bones, but
I mean, it's he'd a magic, be running around in a second.
It's a magical spray. I've never had it, but it's magical.
Well, I used to be bat boy for the St. Louis Cardinals, and you know, back in the late 70s, and they used it all the time. Like, somebody would slide into second, like sprain their ankle, and this trainer would run out and spray this thing, and he pops up, but it's like
they're ready to go.
They're ready to go. Yeah. So what's your schedule the rest of the day?
So today's a pretty low key. I'm doing the NFL honors tonight. So doing that and just a couple more media things, but nothing major. So it's pretty, now that the chaos is here, we're slowing down a little bit. But tomorrow's a pretty busy day.
Well, I would thank you. Well, I am thanking you, but I would like, hey, we'll talk soon. We'll talk to you later. But no, we're going to probably talk to you in about 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, we are?
Well, yeah, when the guest that's across over there is going to come back.
He's coming back?
Yeah.
You sure he's coming back?
No, he is coming.
What time did he tell you?
He told me 11:30. But as we all know, when Warren walked by, I wanted to make sure, you know, that he knows where we are. And he will be here.
Oh, no. If Warren tells you he'll be here, he'll be here.
He will be here.
The thing is, you don't know when, and not because he doesn't want to be here, because Warren walks in the room and everybody wants his attention.
Right.
So that's, yeah, so, but that's the thing with Warren. Like, his loyalty is second to none. I mean, he is the most loyal
Absolutely.
Person
we
ever.
Both know that.
Right. So if he tells you he's going to be here, he's going to be here, but I'm sure he's being, is he wearing his yellow jacket?
No.
Okay, because I see some of the Hall of Famers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying, I mean, Warren, you're going to recognize regardless, but if he's wearing his yellow jacket, I'm sure they're going to pull him at every station before he gets to the.
If it is 11:30, if it's not 11:30, I will text you. As soon as he's here, and we'll set it up. He won't even know you're coming.
And if I'm around, I would love to come by and say hello.
We will definitely do it. Martin, as always, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
good
we'll
to
talk to you probably in 25 minutes.
Sounds good.
All right, let's go hit the top of the hour break. Coming to you live from Radio Row here in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator.
Talk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.